Turn, if you will, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. And verse 24. If you get this one, you're going to be all right. Proverbs 15, 24. If I were you, I would get the tape. Even before I say anything, get the tape. Amen. Proverbs 15, 24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Are you in your Bible here this morning? The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. All right. The theme is the upward look or heavenly health. The upward look or heavenly health. If you have a pencil, write it down. Now you want. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. In other words, the lifestyle of the wise is above. His lifestyle, his advice, his direction do not come from the earth, but from above. I lost my amens already. Okay. When problems come up, and that's how you spell life, P-R-O-B-L-E-M-S, problems. When problems come up, see, you can look at the problem, or you can look up for some heavenly help. That is, if you're wise. I heard Pastor Morgan at a funeral service say a couple days ago, he said something like this. He said, if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, this life that you're living in, this world that you're living in, is about as close to heaven as you're going to get. If you don't know the Lord, what you're going through right now is about as close to heaven as you gonna get. See, the way of life to those who know the Lord changes. Their lifestyle changes so that they do not draw conclusions from what they see, feel, or hear down here, but they have a heavenly connection so that they don't draw bottom lines from what they read in the daily newspaper or channel 3, 6, or 10, but they get some news from the other side. We're only talking right now to those who are saved. And this excludes those who just attend. You got to know and to understand. what we're talking about this morning. Because this is the benefit of being saved. See, it's not just your house, your clothes, your job, your money, or your bank account. Because the numbers writer or the dope dealer can have a car, a job, and a bank account. But if you've been born from above, you've got to learn, and I have to learn, how to live on two realms. Are y'all there? See? So your way of life, instead of being down here, it is up there, so that you can escape from hell that's beneath. See, I did not come to the Lord hoping to repeat what I was living before I met him. If I wanted my life to be the same, I would have stayed out there. But I'm glad he called me in. He brought me. Amen. Because my Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. See? And so I was lost. I don't know about you. I wasn't saved all my life. And going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Something got to happen in your life. There ought to be a difference from back then to what's happening. Amen. And so if the Lord brought me out of a room full of rattlesnakes, and I know they were rattlesnakes, I'm not going back there. Once I'm out, I'm glad I'm out. And I appreciate anyone who put a sign up there warning me. Because I don't want to go back. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. See, so I'm not saved mad. I'm saved glad. I'm glad I'm out of that. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, and if the Lord turn his head, he don't have to worry about me sneaking out. I'm glad I'm in. Now, most of us are not sure whether we're glad or sad. Because, amen, in most instances, we haven't been taught, see, how to live off of a heavenly provision. Because if we knew what we were into, Wednesday night would look like Sunday morning. We would have as many saints in the church on Wednesday as are here on Sunday morning. Because you cannot take advantage of a heavenly connection without prayer. That's why it cuts, because many of us is just fooling. You can't make it without an upward look. Because my help cometh from the Lord. My help doesn't come from this world system. Are y'all there now? So now you don't have to write a check. You can have a checkbook with money in the bank and never write a check. And let them come and take your house, your home, your car, and the dog. And never write a check. Do you hear what I'm saying? In other words, just because you have a check and a bank checkbook and a bank account does not mean you're going to draw on it. And if you're saved, You have a checkbook. You have a bank book. You have a heavenly account that most of us have never really drawn on. And we come in on Sunday morning, and in some instances, feast off of a few saints who are saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's why they were praising the Lord. I had to step back a little bit because I never want to interfere with a person who's doing what we came to do. See, I wish sometime that the Spirit of God would so fill the sanctuary that we wouldn't have to talk so much. But I'm trying to talk you up to understand what the praise is all about. Because that's what we came to do. Am I right about it? Well, why are we praising him? Because he did something for me. When I called you, the line was busy. I got an answering service. But when I called him, he stepped in. So we want to avoid certain things. So the God that made us, is a God of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So he's saying, in effect, I'm in heaven, you're on earth. I'm going to give you life. Amen. Now, you want to know whether it's going to be a successful life or a failure. See, and he said, if you take my advice, you'll be wise. See, and your life will be abundant. If you choose to live without my advice, you'll live a little while. But you'll be called foolish. See, to attempt to live in God's world without him puts you in a strange category. And then God says, whether you're wise or foolish will show up in your sex life. That's the bottom line. Now, why don't you just say amen so we go to the next. See, in other words, what God is saying through the book of Proverbs is that if you are in touch with him, you will be a moral person. If he's in your life, people will see that you have a standard that is different from those who do not know him. Now, you can be in the church, a member, join the earthly church, and not have any morality. That's why Paul says in Romans 8, they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. And he's directing that toward churchgoers. Everybody in here is not spiritual. That's why when you come in, you have to be careful who you hook up with. Some of these churchgoers will give you deadly advice. They say they saved and still sitting up in the movies, still smoking, still drinking, still cussing, still partying. Still lying. Am I right about it? Let me make it plain if I can. See, anyone who takes you from your stated goal, anyone that interferes with you on your way to your stated goal is not your friend. Some of you just casually walk down the aisle to receive the Lord Jesus. I was desperate for his help. I realized that without him, I had no life. Without him, I have no purpose and no direction. The Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Without him, there's no life, no truth, no way. Then he said, without me, you can do nothing. So I'm making a beeline for Jesus. If that's not your goal, get out my way. Amen. I'm not trying to run from him. I'm trying to run to him. Oh, amen. I don't need a church to take me to Atlantic City. I don't need no group to get a lottery ticket. But I want somebody to pray with me, for me. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? So the closer you get to him, see, the greater the change takes place in your life. So if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. But you don't want friends who slip and slide, peeping and hiding. Amen. And it shows up on Sunday morning in terms of joy. It's hard to rejoice in the Lord when you're backsliding, fooling around. Oh, amen. All right. So, in the book of Proverbs, the emphasis is on earth. Practical advice for those who are on their way to heaven. If heaven is your goal, then we have some practical advice for the journey. That's the book of Proverbs. So today, he says the way of life is above to the wise. If you're wise, if you fear the Lord, if you reverence him, then your life is up yonder. Are y'all there? And I put the emphasis on what's up yonder because I want to escape what's down here. Even today, this morning, the devil has some stuff lined up for you that if God's power had not intervened, you wouldn't be in the seat you're in here right now. Oh, amen. He brought us through dangers seen and unseen to this very fellowship that we're experiencing. All right. Now, when you talk about church, it is more than baptism. It is more than just walking down the aisle and giving somebody your hand, and they give you a box of envelopes. It's more to it than that. Somebody saw you in trouble so bad that you couldn't get out of it. It wasn't that you came to trouble, you was born in it. And somebody cared enough that he decided to do something about it. Amen. The somebody is God. The maker and the creator of the universe. He cared about us so much that in spite of the fact that we turned our back on him, did not want anything to do with him, he reached in his bosom, took out his word, wrapped it up in the flesh, sent him on a rescue mission, sent him down here, amen, to save us from our dilemma. He's called the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. If we were all right, he would not have had to come. And since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all of us were messed up. Now, that Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, past tense, died at a place called Calvary, shed his blood to take away my sin. Sin is a death sentence. You don't do something about it, it will kill you. And you'll end up in hell, in a lake of fire. Oh yes, everybody's not going to heaven. He preaches preaching nowadays like everybody got a ticket, signed and sealed. That's not true. He died to save us from the penalty of sin. He paid it all. You drove through the stop sign, he paid the fine. Oh, amen. He brought in forgiveness of sin. He not only forgave you the sins we committed yesterday, but the day before, all the way back. And I'm not supposed to tell you, but I'm going to let you in on a secret. He forgave you of the sins you're going to commit tomorrow. His love is so great, he's forgiven us of the stuff that we haven't even done yet. Amen. That's why it's hard to sit in the church of the living God with a long face when you know what he's done for you. Amen. See, he forgave us of all our sin. Now he did that so that when someone else comes to you with a problem, he's going to ask you to forgive them as he has forgiven you. Amen. See, that's why there's no grounds for divorce. You have grounds for separation, but not for divorce. Because we got to forgive one another. Not as folks forgive you, but as he has forgiven you. Amen. That's why we have a ministry of reconciliation. We call the peacemakers, because we can go between folks and try to get them together. Amen. Because our sins are forgiven. Now, if you won't accept that, you don't know what you're shouting about. And if he can forgive me today and take it away tomorrow, then I'm living in terror. Because sin is not just what you do, it's your thought pattern. You can be guilty of stealing without touching an orange. And your mind is not that under control that you can keep it from thinking some stuff that you had no business thinking. That's why you say you want that mind that was in Christ Jesus. That's why I speak of the renewing of your mind. Because you can think some stuff that if it were not for him, it would put you straight in the lake. Oh, amen. And that's why those who know better never get up and boast about how good you are. Because while you run in your mouth, you can think something that's contrary and be condemned for. Amen. That's why the real saints don't have too much time minding other folks' business. Because I got a renegade mind and a contrary spirit. And I need him to hold the reins, keep me in the right direction. I don't have time to get in your business. Take 6 months to mind my own business and 6 months to leave yours alone. Even though we're saved, see, are y'all there? We are saved, but there's still a battle to be fought. In World War II, the Germans knew that as soon as the Allies landed in France, that the war was over. Well, they landed in France. There were many battles to fight, but the war was over. Amen. Well, when you invited Christ into your life, the war was over. But there are battles to be fought. We have a new nature and an old nature. And one is pulling us back to where we came from. While the Spirit of God is taking us to a heavenly destination. And I'm not here to preach you back. I'm not allowed to set up a ministry in the church that'll take you back. We're making big mistakes in the church world. We're too busy trying to connect you up with a kingdom that's sinking. While we should be getting you ready for the kingdom that's coming. I don't want you to have to spend an eternity with somebody you don't know. Oh, amen. In other words, I know I have a lot to say up here, take a lot of time out. But you got a lot of time to spend in eternity. And 1 and 2 hours in the Word ain't nothing to be compared with the time you're going to have to spend with Him. I got to get you ready to meet the Creator. The man you're worrying about will lay you off tomorrow morning. But the man we come here to study about has got some riches and glory. Want to take you through some stuff. I wish I had time to talk to you. So at Calvary, he forgave us. But see, the difference is that when they buried him in the tomb, he died at that. They buried him, but he didn't stay dead. I wouldn't have had any problem with him had he stayed dead. He'd have just been another philosopher, a man with wisdom, a guru. But he didn't stay dead. He got up from the grave. Amen. All the rest of them is stone cold dead. Buddha is still there. Confucius is still there. Nietzsche is still there. But the Lord Jesus is alive. See, they don't tell you in most churches what he's doing now. All we know is he got up with all power in his hand, and that's true. But the issue is, what is the living Christ doing now? Because the proverb says your way of life is above. Amen. Well, if you know about him, he's the risen Christ. He is our advocate right now. You know why I didn't get slapped down last week? You know why the steamroller didn't run over me last week? Because I got a friend who sits at the right hand of the Father. And every time the accuser of the brethren came up there with charges, he stood there and argued my case. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is God that justifies. See, you have to understand, to be justified means that you've been declared all right. God doesn't go after people who are all right and call them right. God goes after bums. He goes after nobody. While they're still in the mud, while they're still on a manhole, he says, you're all right. In other words, he takes us at our worst. He takes us when nobody will go for us. And he proceeds to revolutionize and transform our lives in a way that not even our family members can explain what's going on in our life. And some of us have done some mean things last week. Some Bible toting, Bible quoting, churchgoers. Done some things that have lowered and brought down the standard. And the devil just reported to the throne. Did you hear what Ruffin said? Did you see what he did? Any one of your children? And every time God looked over, God the Father couldn't see anybody but his Son. Because Ruffin is hidden in Christ. I wish I'd have prayed in church. I've got a bookmarker in my study. And see, if you look at it, on one side, you know, it's got a saying stitched into the bookmark. If you look at it on one side, it's all jumbled up and crazy looking. But when you turn it over, You can read the verse. Well, down on earth, all we see is a jumbled up, mixed up situation. But in heaven, God reads it clear. I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm not what I used to be. But when he gets through, I shall come forth as pure gold. Amen. All of us have dropped the ball. All of us have messed up. I'm talking about sinners and saints. But you've got one, a friend who does for us what Johnny Cochran did for OJ. He pleads your case. If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. Well, if the charges don't fit, you gotta drop them. Cause at Calvary, amen, he represented me. His blood washed away all my sin. And he's taken upon himself right now, not only to represent me, but to preserve me. You're not only represented, but you are kept. How do I know that he got back to the Father? See, the Father sent the Son. The Son reported back to the Father. Saluted him. I finished the work that you assigned to my hand. The Father says, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Amen. Then he says, Father, I promised them that in my absence, since I've come back to you, I'm going to send them another comforter. I'm going to send some power down there who will seal them. Oh, amen. The comforter, he's called the Holy Ghost. Amen. Since you moved to the main line, you call him the Holy Spirit, but he's a Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you believe on him, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will seal you till the day of redemption. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Amen. Amen. The risen Christ. The risen Christ. Right now, he's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's our preserver. And he's preparing a place for us. Don't you know? He's got another building that he's preparing for you. This earthly tabernacle is breaking down. But we got another building. Not made with hands. The hymn writer said there's a leak in this building. There's a leak in this building. And my soul has got to move. But I thank God I got another building. Not made with hands. Amen. You got some power. He's preparing a place. He's an advocate. He's preserving us. And he's the head of the church. Amen. The church is not an organization. It's an organism. We're bone of his bone. And flesh of his flesh. He's the head. Come on here now. The head is in heaven. The body is on earth. The devil cannot attack the head because the head is risen and victorious. But the devil can attack the body. And the body is on earth. Now in your natural body, all the directions come from your head. So if I put my hand on a hot stove, all the hand can do is call up the head and say, it's hot down here. Move me before I burn up. And if the head is operating, the head will send power and direction to move that hand out of the way. So if he's my head and I'm his body, I need to talk to him to get some direction as to where he wants me to go and what he wants me to do. Now, the closer you get to the head of the church, the clearer your directions are, the better the counselor, because he's a mighty counselor. Now, as the preaching goes forth, as we try to share the word of God, the Holy Ghost comes in here, and he begins to give out gifts and anointings to the folks that are in the body. See? And you take your gift and you minister. And a person over there takes their gift and minister. And as we minister gifts, we grow up. We grow up into the head. See the pastor doesn't have all the gifts. He's supposed to be a good teacher. Amen. But as the word goes forth, see, the Spirit of God and the Word of God get in you and begin to work in you to make you want to get busy in the church, in the organism. Whether you prosper, do well, or fail has a lot to do with your gift. Am I right about it? You got to talk back. See, he's the vine. We are the branch. We're supposed, and we are, in him. Now, if the branch is in the vine, it ought to be producing fruit. And he said, if I look at the branch and there's no fruit on it, I'll cut it down. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Don't worry about that. But if you're not producing fruit, then you go to heaven early. Don't tell God about your gas bill, electric bill, and the children getting on your nerves if God told you to teach a Sunday school class and you're not teaching it. Ain't no sense in, come on, I want to get married. I'm looking for some man in my life. And you ain't even witnessed for the Lord, ain't visited a hospital for him, ain't wrote a missionary, ain't prayed for nobody. Nothing spiritual. You can go on all the singles retreats you want. You come up with nothing. But if you give God your heart, give him your mind, give him all your strength, give him all you got, he'll bless you. Y'all don't hear me? It could be the gift of helps. That means you just go around picking up paper off the floor. You can't stand to see God's house looking tacky and dirty. You might just sweep a floor. But in the name of Jesus, he'll bless you inside and out. Amen. The blessing's really not up here. Everybody wants to jump up in the pulpit. That's not where it's at. It's the stuff you're doing day in and day out. I'll never forget it. The man showed me on the list. I was about ready to get drafted. I was going to school. My number came up. The man showed me my name on the draft list. Even showed me the date I had to report. Had it all set up. Said, Ruffin, you going into the Army. You know. Well, I wanted to finish my college. But that's it. See? So I'll never forget it. I was coming from the Arsenal, and this fella, I don't even know his name. He handed me a tract. Now, Saints, this is way back in about 1953. He handed me a tract. He said, you know, things don't have to happen the way it looks. And he was not of the same ethnic persuasion. Amen. I don't even remember, you know, what the track said, but he took time out to encourage me. And don't you know the Lord made a way? I saw my name on the list. But he fixed it so I didn't have to get called up until he was ready for me to get called. Oh, y'all don't hear me. It's not that big stuff. It's just going out your way in a little way to help somebody else, to encourage someone along the way. That's the word. That's the reward. Y'all. Amen. You could have had that Lexus, that Cadillac, or the house on the main line if you'd have just told that little girl in the office, Jesus loves you. You could have had a healing right now. You don't take nobody coming in from Chicago with a bottle of oil to get you right. All you got to do is something for the Lord instead of yourself. Am I right about it? Didn't God take a little girl, a know-nothing, to tell that king what to do to get rid of his leprosy? What was the man's name? Naaman? Naaman. Yeah, he said. The little girl said, just go out there and dip a few times. Am I right about it? She had the keys to his life in her hand. He said, well, I will. And I'm the king. I'm going to go out there and dip in that old dirty river. Said, if the girl told you something difficult, you have a right to complain. Going out there and dip. Hey, y'all don't know it. Just a word from Jesus. It's not always a Bible verse. But if that word is wrapped up in grace, God can use it to win a soul. Praise Him. Praise Him. He died on Calvary. He rose. And He's coming back again. For some of y'all, I'm afraid, sorry to report, but He's coming back again. Amen. The Bible's not complete unless He come back again. We call it the translation of the church or the rapture of the church. See, if I knew when He was coming, I could honky-tonk. Party all around, then get right. If the Lord told us when He was coming back, everybody gets saved, you know. But He didn't tell us that. Amen. His coming is imminent. Suddenly, death is not the second coming of the Lord. So I'm going to be alive when He comes. Are y'all there? See, y'all a little slow. See, He stood at Lazarus' grave. See, and He calls Lazarus back. But then you remember, He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. See, the Lord was going to call Lazarus. But He also knew that there's some that will never have to go through a funeral pile. He's going to call them while they're still alive. Of course, some of us come from churches where that's what the pastors think, that the funeral, that the death is the coming of the Lord. No, it's not. Mm-mm. He's coming back to the air to catch the believers up. They got the, I told you some deep stuff here this morning. See, so we don't know when He's coming. All we know, He is coming. And right here this morning, you have to decide where you're going to be and what you want to be doing when He comes. Because your lifestyle is wrapped up on how you think He's coming back. See, if I knew the Lord were coming back in the next 30 seconds, 30 seconds to get ready. I'd be running up and down the aisle, hugging enemies,
Amen. I'm just saying, because you don't know. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Make friends. Get that thing cleared up as quickly as possible. All right. Now, look at your bulletin. It says sermon notes. All right, here it goes now. Now, way back in the Old Testament, there's a man named Abraham. And God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, look at the stars up there. And Abraham looked at the stars, and God said, count them. Abraham said, I can't count them. There's too many of them. So God said, so shall your seed be unto you. That's how many children you're going to have, Abraham. More numerous than the stars. Later on, he speaks to the same man named Abraham. He says, Abraham, look at the grains of sand. Abraham looked. God said, how many of them are there? Abraham said, I can't count them. So God said, so shall your seed be unto you. Amen. See, Abraham was going to be the father of two types of people. A heavenly people and an earthly people. The heavenly people we call the church. God's earthly people are the Jews. Are y'all there? So when you read your Bible, you have to know where you read. There are instructions for his earthly people, and there are instructions for his heavenly people. We have problems because we mixed it all up. And you try to apply earthly stuff when you on a heavenly destination. That's why the Apostle Paul says you must rightly divide. Don't go into the hospital and take everybody's medicine. Only take the stuff with your name on it as prescribed. We're the only ones that go into the medicine cabinet and just thumb through here and pick up any old thing. It'll mess you up. Let's see if we can clear it up this morning. See where it says sin? Put under there Romans 3:23. Because all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then one day the Lord came into your life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The verse says nothing about singing in the choir. It says nothing about ushering, nothing about preaching. It just says if you believe, you receive eternal life. Now, don't go to singing until you believe. Believe first, then sing. Amen. Now, the moment you put your trust in the Lord. Now, all I can do is accept your confession. You confess with your mouth. We assume that you believe in your heart. And some people confess with their mouth, didn't believe in their heart. They still lost in the sauce. But the moment that you confessed it, two things happened. Something was done for you. Then God begins a work in you. There are two parts to your salvation. Y'all see that on your paper? Something was done for you. Then something is done in you. Now, what was done for you and me was done at Calvary. Do you remember he hung his head in the lock of his shoulders and said, "It is finished." Whatever he had to do was done. Over, out, finish, complete. You can't add to it, and you can't take away from it. It's his work. Notice it points to heaven. Because where is he right now? In heaven. Seated at the right hand of the Father. Making intercession. Preparing a place for us. He's an advocate right now in heaven. He's our high priest in heaven. Okay? Down on earth, his spirit is working in. You're indwelt by the Holy Ghost. Every believer is indwelt. Not every believer is filled. But every believer has a portion of the Holy Ghost on the inside. Now, he wants to do a work in you. He starts in and works out. The world says start out and work in. But God says, I work in, out. Are y'all there? Now, the extent to which he works out of you and me depends upon how much faith you have. The just shall live by faith. Those that are right with God live by faith in what he has done for them. So every Sunday, I try to get you to hear this. If you will listen to God's word, the Holy Ghost will take this word and work on your inside to produce the new man. If you sit up here and go to sleep and don't hear the word, you'll go out the same way. You came in. But if you hear what God has to say, come on now, and apply faith to it, then your walk will start to resemble your heavenly position. What's in heaven will be seen on earth if you yield to the word. Are y'all there? I know this is over your head right now. In other words, certain things were done for us. What was done for us never changes. See, if you die and I die right now, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That means you so clean, so righteous, and so sanctified that if death were to catch you in the next second, you are ready. How did you get that way? He finished the work at Calvary. If you knew what he finished at Calvary, you'd be waving your hand every Sunday. All right. Since you're a little slow. See, you're on earth, but you got heavenly interests and an earthly walk. So since you're a little slow, now you got to find the book of Ephesians. I told you this is a heavy one. Book of Ephesians. If you hear this one, it'll save you 25 years. If not, you'll learn it by experience. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Now, this is what's got to happen in the church. This is why you attend church. This is why you're in Bible study. This is why you, even if you know it, attend anyhow. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Why did he call you? And what the riches of the glory of what? His inheritance. See, you are his inheritance. You are his inheritance. Inheritance is money, it's riches. You are his riches. I'm supposed to make you know how valuable you are to God. That he would send his son to die for you on the cross. I'm not going to go crazy over my blackness. I'm going crazy over the fact I'm born again. His inheritance in the saints. In other words, he laid up something in you and in your life that he intends to get out of it. Somebody's got to see something in you that reminds them of the Most High God. Now, how did he work it? Which he wrought. No, pardon me. No. Verse 19. And know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. He's working power in your life. Not only do you belong to him, but he done hooked you up to power. What you doing going around surrendered all the time? I can't take it. I can't make it. Woe is me. Claim some power. In the name of Jesus. According, notice that. The greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. Not your power, his power. That's why he waits till you run out. You done mopped the floor, did the dishes, cleaned the house, did the shopping. Physically, you are out of it. But you can look to the hill from whence cometh your help. He will renew your strength. Can I get a witness here? Now just think about it. When you was tired, exhausted, did you see that strength come through the front door? Did you see a crack in the ceiling to let the strength in? You just looked to the Lord. You said, Lord, help me. And from somewhere up there, the strength came down here to go through. He's working power toward it. Because folks are going to be astounded at how you get things done. How you do that. Why, if I were you, I'd be dead tired. But you still going and going and going and going. And after a while, you're going to realize it's not you. But it's Christ working that power down on the inside. But Paul said he wrought this power in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. In the heavenly places, God worked power in the Lord and raised him. Come on here now. And made him sit at his right hand. You don't sit down till all the work is done. Y'all better make note of this. Notice what he did. Far above all principality and power. And might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The Lord's name is above every name you can name. Every power, every might, not only in this world, but whatever world is coming up, He's still number one. Oh, I wish I had a prayer church. There's power in the name of Jesus. Don't you know that? Don't you know there's power in that name? Notice verse 22. He hath put some things, all things, under His feet. How about your gas bill? How about your fears? How about your electric bill? How about your children? How about your marriage you're worrying about? Everything! Is under His feet. And gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Who's the boss? The Lord Jesus is the boss. Over everything that come in here. He arranges the furniture. Y'all know that. See, now listen. You got to listen to me good. You're not responsible for this stuff till you hear it. I ask you to turn to the passage so you can read it for yourself. Up until the time you read it, you were free from this. Now you are obligated. Amen. See, what it means is no matter what comes up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, it's under His feet. I've got the victory. I don't care how it looks. Hallelujah anyhow. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living. I don't care what comes up. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you think about me. I've got the victory because I'm in Christ. He's in heaven and everything's under His feet. If voices are coming out your wall at home, if you're hearing demons, if devils are walking through your living room, you still got the victory. Don't claim the powers and principalities. Claim the one who's above. Hang up the phone. Hang up the phone. Don't let no devil get in your ear and talk you out of a good day. Amen. Look to the hill from whence cometh your help. Say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2. Chapter 2. And verse 4. 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. I watch out now. And hath what? Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God took His mercy, His love, wrapped us up in it, quickened us, made us alive with Christ, saved us by grace. Then you know what He did? Do you know what He did? He took you and raised you. This is what God says happened when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's side of salvation. He took you and raised you all the way up to heaven and made you sit with Christ. As far as God is concerned, this morning you are already in heaven. It ain't no such thing as dying and then finding out where you're going after you dead. John says, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life." You're supposed to know where you are going. And you have to know where you are right now, far as God is concerned. Far as God is concerned, you're on earth and in heaven at the same time. Wake up, Jacob. When you get in the elevator, you press the button, door open up, you walk in. Door closes, takes you up. Wherever the elevator goes, you go. Question comes up. See, that's my standing. On your diagram, it says doctrine. See, that's the truth. Doctrine is the truth of the scriptures. This is what the Bible says. This, all we're talking about now, is a gift. I didn't even get an amen. Your seat in heavenly places, our salvation is a straight up gift. The gift of God is eternal life. Oh, you got to know why the gospel music is lively. Most time you just clapping because it's upbeat and they got a bunch of noise. You better find out what you shouting about. Because as far as God is concerned, your journey is complete. That's why we don't have to jump in the coffin when somebody dies. Or jump in the graveyard when they dig a hole out there. Because to be absent from this body is to go to a prepared place. It's the promise of God. It's the gift of God. Now, if I'm in God's presence, once you get into God's presence, all problems are solved. That's why we beg you, we beseech you to praise the Lord. Because as you praise Him, He manifests His presence. Wherever He goes, problems disappear. No problem can stand in His presence. When He was on His earthly journey, blind folks got their sight. Lame folks walk. The dumb talk. Because the kingdom of God restores, revives, heals, and makes whole. Well, one day in his kingdom, all problems are going to be dealt with. Until his kingdom comes, you're going to get a glimpse of it every now and then. Every once in a while, in your fellowship, someone's going to get healed. Someone's going to get revived to let you know that the God we serve can deal with problems. He's a healer. Yes, he is. He's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. Not everybody's going to get healed this morning, but enough folks going to get healed for you to know that he is able. But someday, all of us going to drink of that old healing water. Someday we're all going to be on the other side. Am I right about it? Down on earth, I got problems. Good days, bad days, in, out, up, down. In the valley, on the mountaintop. But one thing I do know that no problems can exist in his presence. And I know that all he wants is the glory out of my life. Soon as he gets the glory, there's no need for the pressure to be on. So as soon as the pressure comes, I learn to give him the glory. I don't stew in my juice, but I say, praise the Lord anyhow. Thank you, Jesus, for the pain. Thank you for the pressure. Thank you for the victory. Because everything is under your feet. And we got the victory. You told me, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Anyhow. If I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places, that means I'm in heaven. There are no problems in heaven. By the time you get to heaven, all your problems will be dealt with. Well, if you're already there, if you're seated in Christ right now, that means you don't have any problems now. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living. Got a bill, got a problem, need a job, need things straightened out. If I keep looking at that, it'll be defeat. Defeat. But I learned to look up. And Lord, you say, you solved my problem. I'm going to take your word for it. I'm going to walk by what you say. Not my condition, but my position. See, Noah would have never built that ark had he just looked at conditions around him. But the land had never seen a rainstorm. Things were falling apart. But God told Noah, build the ark. Don't operate from what you see. Operate from what he said. And the difference is this. If I have a problem, if my problem is eating bananas, I eat too many of them or something, I give it over to the Lord. The next day I eat a whole bunch of bananas. I'm eating the very thing I asked the Lord to take away from me. But you know what? I may eat a whole bunch of bananas, but I'll do a holy dance. I'll praise Him with all my might, because I put the problem in His hand. It'll drag you down. It'll keep you all low-key and beat up as long as it's in your hand. But when you learn to drop it, turn it over to Jesus, He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. That's why James said, count it all joy when you enter into tests and difficulty. You have a good shout, because when patience has finished her work, you're going to be whole and entire, wanting nothing. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. You're not going to have problems with the stuff you turn over to the Lord. The stuff that's galling your spirit and taking away your praise is the stuff you're holding on to that you should have turned over to Him. Now, I need your help so we get out of here. Turn in your Bible so you can understand it. Two books over to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Y'all see that? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on your boyfriend. No, no, no. It does not say that. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him. And go, are y'all there? See, He says, seek the things which are above. Now, if you run down to the end of the chapter, look at verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Are y'all there? Sister, you can't do that lest you seek the Lord who's above. You ain't going to submit to nobody. It's not even your nature to submit. But if you seek things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, see, your life is hid. You can't hurt me if I'm in Christ. You really can't even hurt my pride. I don't have to defend my manhood if I gave it over to Jesus. See, the solution to your marital problem doesn't start with you straightening your wife out or your husband out. It starts with where your affection is. And Paul says you've got to set your affections on your position in Christ. Because no woman, see, y'all don't hear me. When Job's wife came to Job and saw him suffering, she said, man, why don't you curse God and die? See, a husband or wife's love can only go so far. But the relationship between you and the Lord goes far beyond that. So the time of crisis, Job knew who the real lover of his soul was. See, in other words, you're committed to a relationship. You can get hurt. You can trust your husband for some things, he'll let you down. You can trust your wife for some things and get your heart broken. But if you take that heart and give it to the Lord, he will take you through. You keep your mind staying on him. You should have prayed for 20/20 vision when you were courting. That's when you needed to see everything. But once you're married, you don't need to see everything. You don't need to hear everything. Only hear the stuff that's positive. Y'all don't hear me. And as you set your affections on things above, see, he'll cause you to think on the things that are lovely, the things that are honest, the things that are good report. Yes, she burnt the hominy grits this morning, but for 364 days, they weren't burnt. See, forget all that speaking in tongues stuff. The Holy Ghost will remind you that you had some good days. That the husband may not be all you want him to be, but he ain't all that bad either. Maybe he does leave his socks in the floor, but he's paying the rent. I'm trying to make it practical so you understand. Because we were never taught this in the churches. That you got where you got to look to get problems solved on earth. If you just keep looking at the negative and where people come up short and what they haven't done right, you're going to lose. I don't care what you've done. That's right. There's times when your good turn out to be no good. And if my eyes are not fixed right, and if I have a prejudice against you, no matter what you do, I've got an attitude. I just think there's something behind everything you're saying. Only the God who saved you can get down in your spirit. You got to understand that the blood of the Lord Jesus not only covers sin, but forgives sin. Then get down on your inside so that you can forget what they've done to you. That's why the Lord said, if a man trespass against you, how many times should you forgive him? Peter said, well, about seven times. He thought that was cool. The Lord said, no, seven times 77. You can't forgive like that without supernatural power. Do you know what the Lord means when he says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature? Do you know what that means? It means that every time you talk to him about your shortcoming, you get a clean page. Every time you mess up, clean page. It's forgiveness. Regenerate.